And it's not hopium. I'm convinced Justin Fields is going to have a great game. I really am, whether it's running, passing, whatever it is. I think this is the opportunity. I think that, you know, everybody praises Brian Flores and like, what a great defensive coordinator he is. And then when Justin goes up against him, we're like, well, he should have thrown 9 touchdowns against it. No, stop. And I think that players should be allowed to have a bad game here and there. They shouldn't be held to the expectation. Like, look at everybody. Look at all the players around the league right now. Look at Patrick Mahomes. Look at some other quarterbacks around the league. It is not a perfect output each and every week. There are going to be variances because this is a very difficult game to play. So I will say, going into this game against Detroit, I'm expecting Justin Fields to play well, and I believe that he will. And I can't wait to talk about it with Cynthia Freeland. That's right. Ranks Rivals is back. The Lions week once again, which means we get another opportunity to talk to Cynthia. So, Sammy, let's just go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's gonna be sick. Sick.
What's up, everybody? Once again, it is Lions week and a tremendous occasion. Not only do we get an opportunity to play the Lions, one of the most enjoyable teams in the NFL, I think a lot of people would agree with that, but it also gives us a chance to talk to one of our favorite people in the entirety of NFL media, in the entirety of the planet. It is Cynthia Freeland, noted expert in the world of football. Let's bring her on the show, Sammy. Don't make her wait any longer.
Sure.
You're restoring the roar. You guys restored the roar against the Saints. You feel like, are they back? Are the Lions back now after that disaster against the Packers on Thanksgiving? Are the Lions back?
They were back for like 4 drives and then just hung on. It was like, we're cool. And then we're going to just, you know, remember that cat like in the 90s, those posters, like just hang in there.
Hang in there, baby.
Yeah, that's what the Lions did. We just hung on at the end. We started off strong and then, you know, hanging out at the end for dear life.
What's going on with them? Because a couple of weeks ago, obviously the Bears were in a great position to beat the Lions and we let that one get away. They lose to the Packers. By the way, I was so close to picking the Packers in our weekly picks and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I'm like, nah, I know the Packers are going to win, but I'm not going to do it. And then last week against the Saints, it's been an issue over the last month or so. Is it injuries? Like, what is happening with the Lions right now?
Both. Injuries are obviously adding up, right? CJ, GJ being gone, like, is a really big problem, not even from necessarily only the standpoint of, like, being on the field, but also, like, he's one of the main leaders of that defense. So without him there, the defensive backs are a little bit less enthusiastic. Yeah. Plus, then you have, you know, like, you have Emmanuel Mosley gone. Like, there's just been a number of injuries. And also, it's not like this Lions defense was built on this world building front, right? Like no one was sitting there be like, hey, you know, what's going to be great this year. The Lions defense. Aiden Hutchinson, he gets double teamed a lot. It's kind of like that chess game, right? Like, you know, like at the beginning of the season, this is a defensive season. We know it by look at the totals in that, you know, not that either of us know anything about Vegas, but if you're looking at the Lions, there's only been like, I think 11 games this entire season where a line's been over 50, meaning this is even Vegas knows that this is a defensive minded season. So, you know, in the beginning of the year, you saw the Lions defense come out strong. Plus the NFC North is a little bit down just in general, NFC down just in general.
Right.
And, you know, I know that they beat the Kansas City Chiefs first game of the whole season, but it wasn't because their defense was like, oh my goodness. It was because all of the Kansas City receivers were like, I'm not going to drop this. Or I'm not going to catch this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drop this one. I'm going to leave this right here for you. So, you know, again, it's a little bit of everything, but they need to figure some stuff out.
Yeah. When you guys beat Kansas City, everybody's just like, man, whatever. Oh, but once Green Bay did it, that was the most important victory in the history of football in the last 50 years. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I want to keep on with the line. I think too, like the offensive line has had some injuries. And as we're recording this right now, we're recording this ahead of the Friday injury report. Frank Ragnow has been missing practice. There's a lot. That's a rough one. And again, you're going up against a team that's playing better defensively, but that offensive line has been taking some hits over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is a team that uses six offensive linemen, like not even like asking. This is even before you ask David Montgomery, my side of the game this time. Even before David Montgomery is being asked to block, which he does really, really well.
Really well.
Already throw out six O-linemen looks at one of the higher rates in the entire NFL. So it's a team that really values how their O-line is structured and works together. And without Frank Ragnow, he's like, you know, I used to say, like, for a long time, obviously this is before, you know, Sewell, like a lot of people were drafted. Like, I'm like, well, we got one O-lineman, same as Frank Ragnow. That is it. And, yeah. You know, and that he's really a really central, excuse the pun, figure of that line, but he teaches the other guys what to do, right? Like, we've seen a lot of penalties this year, like really weird. And especially because we have so many young quarterbacks, they don't take in college. They don't take the handoff the same way. So you're starting to see the value of the center more and more, especially as all these rookies are starting for at the quarterback position for injured players. It's really important that the relationship between center and quarterback, you know, the half a second jump you could get to stay away from defenders is huge.
Yeah, it's one of the things, too, that's been a problem for the Bears. You know, they've had some issues at the center position, and then depending on who the center is. Like, I remember when you would play intramural football, and you had to have one of your friends be like, hey, can you come play center? And they would loft it like they're throwing a slow-pitch softball as opposed to actually snapping it. That makes a huge difference, and I think that's been an issue for a lot of quarterbacks, not necessarily just Justin Fields, but other quarterbacks. I've seen it, too. With the Bears defense, you know, playing better over the last couple of weeks, could this be a possible? I know that they're starting to get better. They're still like last in the NFL in pressure rate, which measures the entirety of the season, according to Next Gen Stats. And I'm going to go down. Listen, I'm talking to those guys today. Like, I'm stopping by the desk and saying, how are we last in pressure rate? Last meaning, meaning the Bears, of course. What have you seen out of the Bears defense over the last couple of weeks? Because I feel like Montez Sweat has made a huge difference for them.
Yeah, it turns out when you have better players, it's a little easier to play. You know, also injuries. You know, the secondary, Gordy's favorite player, because Gordy loves everyone who was a Husky, yeah. Is guess who his favorite player is?
Kyler Gordon.
Yeah. And, you know, Kyler, Gordy, Gordon. It's like all perfect and poetic.
Perfect.
So, you know, with the secondary getting healthier and the fact that, you know, the fronts and backs work together, right? We all know this, right. And we all talk about it all the time, right? Like, oh, if you get good pressure up front, maybe the corner helps by blanketing the pass catcher, but also, you know, the front and the back work together. It turns out it's true. And, you know, I've seen some up and down play at the linebacker level, but I think you're starting to see a pretty big improvement in the secondary. Secondary, I questioned coming into the season, right. and the front, a lot more push with Montez Sweat is, and by the way, we can go over this seven times, but that was a great trade. That was a really nice.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we can go as many times as you want.
I know the immediate reaction was swift to damn the Bears. Like, how dare they trade for a player that they're not going to be able to resign. You're like, yeah, they had an extension and it happened very quickly. And it leads me to believe that Ryan Poles might know what he's doing. I don't know. I know a lot of people question him or whatever. That's why even when you get into situations like with Darnell Mooney and Jalen Johnson, the heart wants these players to continue to be members of the Chicago Bears, and I'm still hopeful that they will be a part of the franchise moving forward. But at the same time, I'm really starting to, not that I ever wavered, but I'm really starting to believe in a lot of what Ryan Poles is doing. And I think that some of the picks, like Tyreek Stevenson, has been playing pretty well. And I think even like Gervin Dexter has been a real force for them and really coming on strong. And Darnell Wright looks good. So I think there's a lot of trust going on with this. And I know that you guys are friendly. I know he knows me as the bald guy that works with you.
Well, we went to college together, so I have a little bit of a leg up knowing him. But, you know, look, the interesting part is if you look at kind of forecast forward, obviously, look, like we're still in the season here. We still got to stay in this. But looking at what's going to be available in free agency, this is going to be a really interesting wide receiver free agency. I don't know if you were watching on the Monday Night Football broadcast when they were showing Cincinnati alone. They've got like nine players on that offense that all need to be re-signed, like including T. Higgins. There's some really interesting, and Michael Pittman's up. Like there's a bunch of people who are up this year that who knows? Maybe, like, you know, the Colts are changing their strategy. Like, who knows? I just think it's going to – wide receivers are going to be an interesting one. But O-line, this is a really strong O-line draft class. So if you can create options for yourself to add to the O-line, like – you know, you stay in great positions and Carolina keeps losing, like it's going to look a lot different. And that's a, you know, it's hard to say because a lot of colleges don't play, the O-line plays terrible, but again, if you get to pick the one you want, you'll get the right one.
No.
And I'm played O-line just in case people.
No. And that was, I thought that Darnell Wright was the correct choice going into last year before the draft, before the Bears even selected him. Brian Baldinger had said, like, Darnell Wright was a player that he absolutely loved. And I'm like, okay, I'll take note of that. Because I always do my...
Which way was he pointing when he said it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That the finger was going this way or that way, whatever it was doing. I will say this, though. Let's talk a little bit about Justin Fields. Like, the last time that we saw him, it was that game against the Minnesota Vikings. Scored 12 points. You know, a lot of it, too, like, you know, the Bears get a little conservative. They do settle for field goals a little bit too much, but they really need to start taking advantage of the turnovers that they're getting. They've scored, they've created like 85 turnovers over the last couple of games, and it's translated into 13 points. They still won a game against the Minnesota Vikings. What did you think about that last contest up against Brian Flores and that defense? And how do you, where do you stand on Justin Fields after a game like that?
Well, first off, Brian Flores, another one of my college friends,
of course.
Brian and Ryan Poles, very close friends, just so we're clear. He's been running one of the most interesting defenses that I've seen. It's clear he's making the most of his personnel, if you're reading between the lines. Because I've never, I have to go back and look at like 20 years of data, but I can't remember a time when I've seen the same team have the highest numbers of six defensive back looks and also the highest number of cover zero. It's like, he's like we're rolling, like, which one are we going to do? One or the other? It's binary. And he coin flips every time. He's like, let's just do that. Anyways, but it's hard on a quarterback when you do that, because you don't really know what you're looking at. He's trying to look the true reason for a blitz is to create someone get caught stepping. Right. So
yeah,
he's really making you think about it, right? Like it's interesting. If nothing else, it's creative, right? So when you have that going on and you haven't played in a while and you have some questions at the running back position in terms of health and is everyone completely healthy and your O-line has been letting you down, I think what Justin Fields did was show you that he's more mature than maybe people think, right? Like that he knows what he's looking at a little bit more. Now, I don't know what's going on in the field. I'm not standing there. I'm not in the, you know, headset or in the huddle, but I can tell you that his head has stopped moving. Like you can watch quarterback's head. That's a little dramatic, but you can watch when they don't know what they're doing. Like watch, hey, our guy, Tommy DeVito, his head's like juke, juke, juke. Like he doesn't know what he's looking at. And that's not even his fault. And it's no shade on him. Like he's a brand new baby out there behind no O-line. Like it's crazy. Yeah. So, but Justin Fields, he's never really had that head thing and it's certainly gotten even better. So it feels like even against a very wacky defense like the Vikings that knows his tendencies well and has a good game plan for him, did a really nice job of adjusting and taking what the defense gave him.
Yeah, and even when he made a couple of mistakes at the end of the game, one of the things that I've always wanted to see out of him that we really hadn't had an opportunity to check out yet, I know there's been some moments against Pittsburgh during his rookie year where they didn't end up getting the win partly because of the officiating, but still he went out there.
He never messes with games. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know. And so, but to go out there and to play, like, I have two bad plays and you're like, all right, well, it's on you. And like, even me, the most ardent of Justin Fields supporters, is be like, you got to win this game, dude. You got to go out there. You have to win this game. And that's exactly what he did. And obviously nobody wants to give him credit for it. But what about you as an NFL analyst? Did you look at that and you're like, you know what? That was pretty good that Justin Fields was able to rally the team for a victory.
Absolutely. That was a look, when you're working with your hand tied behind your back, meaning like this, dial back and pretend you didn't know which team it was. And you were to tell me, hey, this guy was drafted with a lot of expectations with a pretty terrible O-line and has had several different systems that he's had to deal with and had to learn different, you know, ways of calling things and doing things. And is in this situation where, at least in the beginning of the season, had a subpar defense. I'm not being mean.
You
know,
was not playing well.
No. So what did you, what do you expect from them? Right. Like, it is always fun to see like Jake Browning come out of nowhere and the Jags defense allow him to look like freaking, you know, the second coming of Tom Brady. But it's, these are one game sample sizes where like, it's just, that is, I believe the Jags probably overlooking the Bengals as a,
yeah,
you know, as a team, right? Like, this is not my best versus your best. So if you were to blind resume, like, who would you rather want to have? Like, I think people need to stop. It isn't Justin Fields' fault. Like, stop pretending that there are all these substitutes out there that you can be like, hey, this one's better. By the way, only one guy or maybe two could be like elite. Like, I hate how everyone's elite. Like, you're throwing that word out. Like, Dak Prescott's probably going to, he's a very good chance of winning the MVP and he's playing really well. He's not elite. Patrick Mahomes is elite. Mm-hmm. Like, Brock Purdy is right now the odds on favorite to win MVP. Do you think he's elite?
No.
Like, that's the thing is like, you have to reserve the word elite for like the elite people. Otherwise it means nothing. So yeah, being, you want a guy like, if Justin Fields is a top 12 quarterback, you're fine. And that's probably where he is. You know, he's, I think he's better than 16, not 10. I just picked 12 as a random number. Like,
and I'm with you. Listen, you're,
go find me something better, please. And by the way, the Lions are doing it with Jared Goff, who 2 years ago we would have been like,
That's aside. Like, Sean McVay made a decision like, I can't win a Super Bowl with this guy. I'm sending him to Detroit to come bring in Matthew Stafford, which turned out to work. But Jared Goff is
both of them, actually.
Yeah.
Not to say that Jared Goff's going to go to a Super Bowl, but he already been to one. But like, you know, like both of them are having better success in their new home. Like, okay. Yeah. Stop acting like everyone needs to be the number one best. Like,
well, I don't know, because like I was reading tweets from Rich Eisen, who was like, I didn't mean to. It popped up in my timeline where he was ready to say that Jordan Love was elite. And I have to pump the brakes on this because, and I don't want to get you into trouble or anything like that, but like, I swear to like, what Jordan, they won the game. He played well. Like the throw where he throws a pot, like he throws, like he's like, I'm playing three flies up with my kids. And he lost one that when he launches it, you're like, that's getting picked. Like anybody, like Orange High School should have been able to pick off that ball. And then it lands. And I'm not going to say who it was, but people are like, oh, that was just dropped it in a bucket. Stop it. Just stop it. He got away with one. This is the thing. Like, I do this. Like, I talk to people. Like, when I'm coaching, and I thought, I listen, there's my Red Lightning squad right there. I love talking about coaching. There was a referee that missed an offside call in a game last weekend during our area tournament.
I would not be a referee.
I said, hey, I go, they're offside and whatever. And then, like, he did a big thing. And I said, you know what? Here's my deal with this. You can miss a call. Just don't lie to me. That's fine. Like, if you didn't see it, just be like, I didn't see it. Like, oh God, I kind of missed it. That's fine. I'll accept it. You don't lie to me. I know that you're supposed to stand strong and stand by your call, but I'm telling you, human beings, somebody who works in professional sports, don't lie to me. That is worse to me than anything else. So when people come out there and these fans who could just want to be disingenuous, like, oh, what a great, who does a throw? Like, shut up. Not you, but shut up. I'm tired of it. Like, it was, like, they got away with one right there. It could have been picked off. Like, my whole thing when the ball went into the air is I'm telling the Chiefs to bat it down. Don't catch it because it's fourth down. Bat it down. And then I don't know what they were doing. And Romeo Dubs or whomever it was, Trebade, who, I don't care, goes out in there and makes, it's disgusting. I'm getting sick of it already, and it's just getting started.
The funny part is like, again, like, let's stop needing everyone to be either Aaron Rodgers or someone that's been out of the league, right? Like, stop it. Like, stop making it binary. Like, what's really is impressive about Green Bay is they've now finally tinkered enough with this super young offense that in a lot of ways doesn't know what they doesn't know. They're finally tinkering with it enough that it's working. And that's really more of a credit to Matt LaFleur as much as, you know, you and I don't want to do it. Like, it's really like, okay, this is what my guy can do here, and this is what Dontavian Wicks or whatever can do here. Yeah. Like, these are it's not like you're like, this is, again, it's not everybody needs to be the next everybody, right? Like sometimes it can just work with a collection of guys doing things correct together and getting in that good vibe. Now, once we have, I will say, like, you know, the way that, to me, the way I look at things is through a lens of data. So there's kind of points in time when you can say, okay, they're kind of through their 100 level, you know, of being a quarterback. Then they're in their 200. Then they're in their 300. You don't really know who they are until like after 300, meaning 100 is like, I get to do the weird stuff. I can do well. And it's an advantage because defenses don't know what to look at. 200 is now defenses are scheming against me and specifically for my skill set. And do I make it to 300, which is I'm going to just best you with my stuff. And like Patrick Mahomes does that all the time. Like, do you ever have any doubt? And you can feel it as you're watching the gut. But, you know, Jordan Love has now graduated to 200 level. People are starting to get a game plan against him that's relative to him. But you get an advantage when you have this switch and you have more knowledge about your guys than they do about your guys. You just, it's happened for everyone ever since the beginning of time, right? Like, so, okay, like that's great. He's now at 200. Now what happens? Can he rise above it when defenses start to adjust to him? Like CJ Stroud, CJ Stroud actually made it to the 200 level before Jordan Love did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And now he's starting to see a lot of like cover two and two high safeties. And
the Broncos blitzed him on early downs last week. That was how you know he's really come, because that's a good defense. And they weren't like, this little punk. They were like, no, we're coming for you, right? Like, we're going to blitz you on early downs. We're not going to wait till third and make you mess. No. That's respect right there. And you know what? CJ Stroud, he knew what to do. Like,
yeah, he played very well.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, like, yes, Matt LaFleur has done a really good job with this. And turns out Jordan Love, who's a professional, not garbage. You know, like, why do we need people to be like,
he's not elite.
Stop crowning people, but stop discarding. Like, let's just, I hate the word average, but like, guys, like, and no one in the NFL is average compared to the United, whatever the whole,
yeah, thing. But they're better than me.
Players. Yeah. There has to be. It's the way the world works.
It is interesting because we would see this with Kyle Shanahan. Whenever Jimmy Garoppolo would go out and like CJ Beathard or one of those guys would come out and play Nick Mullins, they would play really well. They would play really well. I'd be like, oh my
God. CJ Beathard and Nick Mullins both play this week. We need to celebrate, you know?
Set the world on fire. I would love to see it. And it's just like, again, like whenever Justin Fields does something, it's like, we need to see this over a long period of time, maybe like 6 years before I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt or doing anything like that. Jordan Love goes out there in a primetime game against an undermanned team. Like, he's better than Rodgers. They did it again. They got him.
You know what just came to mind?
What?
One Matt Flynn. Who?
Oh, my God. That
one great against my kitty cat game.
Yes.
And made himself a ginormous Seattle Seahawks contract, which ultimately led to the drafting of Russell Wilson. Where's Matt Flynn now? But like,
oh, no.
Stop crowning these people.
He's still hanging out in Louisiana getting free drinks for his bogus national championship.
I'd take the free drinks too. Who cares if the national championship? That's true. Hey, listen, the booze is real, you know?
That's true. Yeah. And you can walk around with open containers. Yeah. It's a hell of a day. So let me ask you though. So if you were going to, this might not be fair, but like, who is a better prospect? Is it Fields or is it Jordan Love?
I'm going to go with Fields. I think give me an O-line. I think Jordan Love is good. I'm not anti-Jordan. I don't actually
know. This isn't like, I'm not putting you on the spot of like, right. Jordan Love. We're trying to get people away from this guy sucks. This guy doesn't suck. Everybody can be good. But I feel that I don't think it's even outlandish to say that Justin Fields is a better prospect.
Absolutely not. I mean, there's a number of reasons. I just think back to all of the work I did on them pre-draft, both of them. Yeah. And the types of looks and the types of, like, if you were to give Jordan Love the opportunity to sit behind Aaron Rodgers for even like half a season prior to ever starting a game and being able to see, like we all have to train at the more reps we take together, the better we are, you know, like, The thing that you need to learn about being a pro is how to, half of it is how to be a pro. And I understand going to Ohio State, you think, oh, he already knows that. Yes, but like, also no, right? Like, it's not like if you're a highly drafted quarterback, you're coming to a team with a great O-line. You're not. Yeah. You're not often coming to a team with a great defense. Not really. You know, like, you're in a bad spot. And if you're being asked to start right away, it looks a lot different than once you have, I mean, I know Aaron Jones hasn't been playing, but Aaron Jones, big deal, kind of helpful. There's an O-line there. I understand that there are some missing pieces and, you know, Bakhtiari, whatever. I get it, but it's still a good O-line. It's not number one or number two in the league, but it's not 30. So,
yeah,
you know, so give it, like, let's like pump the brakes on all of it, because I would like to see what happens now. I haven't really seen Jordan Love face any like disguised coverages and leverages. Like, he kind of gets zone or man looks, and they use a lot of eye candy with motions ahead of the snap. Like, if you were to have the game planner for Green Bay plan the games for Chicago, like with the idea of wanting Chicago to win, work there.
Right, yeah, I got it.
Then you would
see as an actual employee.
Like, tricks and motions, you have to do them with, you can't just do it. You have to do it with a purpose, because it has to teach the quarterback something. And that's what LaFleur does really well, right? Like, and Shanahan, who he came from, and McVay, who he came from, right? Like, you know.
And Big Shanahan and all those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's that the eye candy head of thing is intentional. It's like, oh, this shows us if the linebacker's blitzing. This shows if you're playing man. This shows if there's going to be a zone read on this side, but man on this side. Like, is it quarter? It's like, it just feels like they get that intentionality and they're on the beat of what defenses are trying to do. And that has been working.
Yeah. And again, like, I'm not going to argue with his success and everything like that, but I still want, I just bristle at the overreactions and everything like that. And now everybody, I mean, like, if you want Jordan Love in fantasy football, that's fine. By the way, the best way to play fantasy football is Underdog Fantasy. Can you be here when I'm saying this? Yeah. I'll block your face out. Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com, or better yet, download the Underdog Fantasy app. If you use the promo code SICK, Underdog Fantasy will match your initial deposit up to $100. It's free. It's easy to get started. So go out and do that. Underdog Fantasy, underdogfantasy.com. The easiest way to play fantasy football. Take the knowledge that we give you when we talk about that and all this good stuff. I will say, too, like, Justin Fields is such an incredible prospect, but... And my whole thing is, like, I would rather keep Justin Fields and use the bonus picks with Carolina, not knowing where it's going to end up. But I also understand, like, people being like, well, if you're going to fire the coach and the coordinator, you might as well get rid of the quarterback and everybody start on ground zero. But like, where do you stand on that? What is your feel? Like, I'm not asking you to say what Ryan Poles would do, but what would you do?
I don't know what Ryan Poles would do. I've never asked for
I'm asking Cynthia. My preference is to keep Justin Fields.
Your girl is a gambler, meaning I want more. The chances that you hit right on one are very low. The chances that you hit right on three, that's better. Meaning if I have the equity from pick number one and I have Justin Fields, which is a known quantity, I make, just like the Ravens did for Lamar Jackson back in the day, I set this man up for success. Yeah. I figure out how to flip pick one and pick whatever into maybe four. Like, think about like the top this year, looking like maybe like two rounds are going to be like what we thought about one round last year is probably what we think about two rounds this year. So there's more better players. Beautiful English by me.
Yeah.
There's the more better players from Michigan over here. You can take the girl out of Lanson, but you can't take the Lanson out of the girl. Anyways, but I would flip it for as many as possible, because the chances, like, stop putting all your eggs in one basket when you don't have to, right?
Yeah.
Let someone else make that investment, because the chances that you end up at like the Bengals is very, very rare, right? Like, yeah. It doesn't work very often. And even the chance that you end up like CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans picking twice in the top three, also very rare. And that wasn't because, you know, CJ Stroud was the only one there. They also got Will Anderson, their defense and that defensive front. And by the way, at the end of the season, their defense was pressuring teams pretty well. So it's just, you are never, in my opinion, unless you're really going to have you don't have a quarterback. Like, there are some teams that are in this position. Yeah. It's, you punt on something when you're sure you're done with it. You don't punt on something when you just want to be like, oh, like bring in my guy. Like,
yeah.
Then, and by the way, that's not how these college players think anymore. They all live in the transfer portal. They all live in NIL. So stop thinking like it's be a business. Don't sit there and be like, oh, this loyalty. Like loyalty is nice. They yeah. like they all go in the transfer portal. They all do. They're all not above it. It's just a different breed.
It's fine. A new world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the Jets, and if the Jets somehow had stumbled into the first overall pick and you're like, you want to move on from Zach Wilson, and that makes a lot of sense. Even Aaron Rodgers, because he's going to be coming off an injury and everything like that. Those kind of situations make a lot of sense. I don't think that the story, I said this to the Red Lightning after we lost in our area tournament. I said, our story's not done yet. And I feel the same way about Justin Fields. And I would rather surround him with a lot of great players. Like if you use that first overall pick on Caleb Williams, you're sort of still putting him behind the eight ball. But if you can sit there and move down and get Marvin Harrison Jr. and you get another stud and then you get all these other picks, like that is like, you have to compare like, and again, this goes back to this, you know what? It goes back to last season when everybody wanted, or not everybody, but when people are like, the Bears should just take Bryce Young and be done with it. Remember those, not you, but like, remember those conversations? People were legitimately saying the Bears needed to move on and reset the clock with Bryce Young. What would that look like right now? You wouldn't have Darnell Wright out there. You wouldn't have a number of players out there. Like you wouldn't have DJ Moore. What do you think that would look like? What would Bryce Young with the Bears without Darnell Wright and DJ Moore, what would that look like this season? That's how ridiculous it is to be like, let's Caleb Williams is not guaranteed to be.
The next month or 2 months, it's going to be like, maybe it's still Caleb. I don't know. I think it's dropping. It'll be like,
yeah. Drake May gets into the mix.
And by the way, even the best looking prospect doesn't always pan out, right? Like, you know,
even Trevor Lawrence has been fine, but he hasn't been a world beater like people expected him to be.
You also need to remember that whoever's in place there, like CJ Stroud is thriving because of Bobby Slowick, because of Gerard Johnson, because of Mark Brunell. Like they have like a whole staff devoted to making this kid good, which, you know, pretty big deal. If you want someone to be good, probably need to invest. It's just like anything else. So, you know, it's hard when you have had a lot of different coaches. It's hard to succeed. It really is. Like until you're able to be the coach like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, et cetera, it's very hard to succeed with a lot of different game plans coming at you real fast. Like even Tua now.
Yeah.
When has Tua taken this big step forward? Like where we really believe in Tua. Well, now he has a little continuity. Sure, it helps that he has awesome, you know, skill players around him, but continuity allows him to understand that he just needs to get in the hands of freaking Tyreek Hill. But like,
yeah, I mean, even like matters. And a lot of the good quarterbacks this season who will be in the MVP conversation, including Tua Tagovailoa, Dak Prescott, who you mentioned a moment ago. The haters and the people on the internet were ready to get rid of both of these guys just last year, even this year. You know, people were ready to make decisions. Jalen Hurts, you know, like people were ready to get rid of Jalen Hurts at one point as well. That's why it's important to go out there and make the investment around him. I'm glad we could come to this. I'm really glad that we were able to talk about this. I feel great about this. I'm a little worried about this game. I'm hopeful that the Bears are going to win it. How do you see this one working out? Let's get your pick for this one. We're sneaking ahead of game day view. What is going to be your pick for this game?
So my math picks the Lions, not by very much. I don't know what the line is, but I think I've got like a 2-point win for the Lions. Very close. The Lions defense has shown its warts. Now, and of course we have our indoor cat is playing outdoors. You know, obviously Patrick came up with a really smart thing about that indoor cat.
Oh my God.
Some jokes are just for us.
Oh, some of them. Yes.
Anyways, but I'm a little concerned. Now, if the Lions didn't have both of the rookies that are being just absolutely sensational on that offense, I would feel differently. But I think this is the point where, you know, you got David Montgomery's first time back in Soldier Field. And he's out there. Jameer Gibbs has shown us he can be exploited. Jameer Gibbs is fast, right? I did this like Twitter space with Brian Branch and asked who was faster between he and Jameson Williams. And he's like, I actually don't know. So, I mean, and we talked about Jameson Williams being really fast prior to that too. So I mean, if they didn't have Laporta and they didn't have Jahmyr Gibbs, it would be a lot more dicey. Obviously, Amon-Ra, like, in addition to all the other, like, really good guys. But those rookies do make a difference. I think the Lions drafted them maybe a bit high, but that's a different discussion for a different day. But I'm worried about the defense. Now, if the Bears come out and Luke Getsy cooks up this plan where on the first three drives the Bears score, or on the first two drives, and I'm not even talking about touchdowns. I'm talking about scores. Three drives they score, it's going to be hard for the Lions. They're not built to come from behind outdoors with the defense in its current state. So it's really going to come down to those scripted plays for me. Those first 15 for each team, can, you know, whose offense do you trust more? And I will say, I do trust Ben Johnson a little bit more. Get your grubby paws.
All right. No, we would listen. You actually, when you were talking about the relationship between Ryan Poles and Brian Flores, that little light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, that's interesting. Yeah. That could be something that we revisit later. And
here's the things to keep in mind. The same, like, I always look at who they knew, like college, whatever, what tree they come from. So Kansas City, but also who's their agent? Because agents often do these pairings together.
Of course.
And so Poles is A1, athletes first. So you've got, you know, that's something to keep in mind. Just as we
now everybody in the comments are going to be looking up athletes.
Well, so does Blues. Aaron Blues has them too.
We understand that. That worked out perfectly. But he's still got some time to go. By the way, before I make my pick, I want to let everybody know that this game is obviously in Soldier Field. But if you're finding yourself on the outside of this game and you're looking for a place to watch it, Game Room Chicago at the historic Chicago Athletic Association Hotel right across the street from Millennium Park. It features billiards, shuffleboard, skee ball, papa shot, and so much more. And it's plenty of space to watch your favorite game with a menu featuring Michelin-starred chef Mari Katsumura snack foods. There are beer towers, a weekend Bloody Mary bar, and shareable signature cocktails.
Cocktail with anyone?
Hey, I wouldn't share, but some people might. But Game Room Chicago is the place to be on game day. So if you want to watch it in a nice warm spot this weekend, go to Game Room Chicago. Let them know that the Sick Podcast sent you there. And not surprisingly, I'm picking the Bears to win this one. I think they come out and they make a concerted effort. Matt Eberflus mentioned this in his press conference on Wednesday. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, Justin Fields throws a great deep ball. And so I think that's going to be a concerted effort this week. And still, that was another thing, too, about the Jordan Love on that fourth one. Like, everybody praising Jordan. What a great read. I'm like, you know what? Justin Fields made that same read against Detroit. People are like, what an idiot. Like, what's he? I'm like, no, that was Justin Fields' throw to Tyler Scott was a literal drop in the bucket. And Tyler is a friend of ours and a friend of the show. And he was on here. He admitted his mistake. He's like, I dropped the ball. That was my fault. That was such a perfect pass. That wasn't a, like, I hope I get lucky and this falls out of the sky into somebody's hands. That was Justin Fields threw that with purpose, and yet people thought it was a terrible decision. But Jordan Love does this. In any event, all that notwithstanding, I'm picking the Bears to win this one. We get up to five wins, and then all of a sudden, when they do that stupid graphic of like in the hunt, we're gonna be one of the in the hunt teams. I just want to be on the in the hunt graphic. I went from the Bears are gonna win the division to the, can you just put us in the hunt graphic? I made them take the Commanders out of it. Because I'm like, we have the same amount of wins as them, and we
get them out of there, Commanders.
Get them out of there.
Do you want to hear my quick conspiracy theory on why the broadcasters like Green Bay so much?
Oh, I'd love it.
I have no idea why, but at several Super Bowls, people have talked to me about like where they think that they're like, hey, what do you think about buying real estate in Wisconsin? I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't know anything about Wisconsin real estate, but for whatever reason, there's like this consortium of like maybe 10 broadcasters with a pretty big mouthpiece, like that do these national games that like have this weird thesis that buying in Wisconsin is like the only place where there's value left in buying real estate. Oh. So I think they're trying to make Green Bay a thing because maybe they bought real estate in Wisconsin and they're like, we need to make this a thing. I'm going to use my platform for good. Raise my price of my, I'm telling you, it's just,
that makes perfect sense.
And I'm like, why are you like, first of all, I'm like, you think I value real estate now? Like, I'll buy myself a house, not you. But like, it's like, what are we
doing? That makes so much sense. I'm in.
I mean, listen.
And, And Minnesota's right there. Minnesota's a much better state than Wisconsin.
I kind of am like, what? Like, it just was like such a random.
No, it makes sense.
Like, yeah, it's all cold. Like, I'm from Michigan. Like, what? Like, yeah. I'm sitting there being like, I'm sorry, what?
They're
like,
trying to catch it. They're trying to find the next Nashville.
They're trying to make
Wisconsin a thing. And it's a real estate thing. I'm in. Oh, I'm running with this one. I can't wait.
Like, I this was like, is,
yeah.
I'm like, one right? of them said it like at a party, you know, like these are how like weird meme stocks happen, right? Like,
yeah,
they're doing the version of like, you know, they're, GameStop.
But they're going to make a GameStop. Yeah. 100%. Which, by the way, love GameStop. My daughter and I were there yesterday playing Mario Kart.
Nothing wrong with GameStop. It's just, you know, it became a prolific meme stock.
Oh, I always stop at GameStop because what are we trying to find? We're trying to find a used version of FIFA, one of the FIFA games. Like, my daughter just, you know, she's into soccer now, so it's like, yeah, let's get this FIFA game. Can never find it. Like, I'll take the oldest one. Like, I don't even care.
I like it.
But they also have Monopoly on Xbox, and I'm like, I couldn't get her to commit. I should have just bought. It was $10. I'm like, why did I not buy this? Although when I bought now, she's not going to.
Yes, chess is so good.
I know, it's great.
Okay, let's play chess.
You got it. Listen, you got to. I don't know. You got to know your personnel. And I just don't think chess is
great. I'm sure she'd be great at chess.
She would be. She's a very good thinker. And she's very.
I'll come teach her chess. I'll drive down.
She's learning a foreign language. She's learning Spanish.
Smart.
So she's already in third grade learning Spanish. And so, you know. So I don't want to have to push her into chess. Like, if you want to sit here and play
another chess. All right, chess is cool.
Chess is cool, like Cynthia. But in any event, thank you so much for being here. Check us out on NFL Fantasy Live. Check us out on Game Day View. Oh, I don't get to be on Game Day View. She's it's on Game Day choice. View.
I'd love to have you on Game Day View.
I have been every Friday. I'm like, can we just send Florio to the Game Day View set, and then we'll just bring Cynthia right on over. It's the same set, but still different times. Florio, your call time's now 3, not 2. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. Listen, we sit here and we make decisions. We make start-sit decisions all the time, and you can't take it personal. You're like, hey, I'm sitting George Pickens. Like, it's not a personal thing against George Pickens. It's just like, I would prefer somebody else. Similarly,
in a game that you're going to watch,
I would start Cynthia over Florio. It's done. I would do it, and I would let him know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think
Florio would be mad at you for saying that.
He knows, and I'm sure that there's a million people he'd prefer over me, and that's fine.
No,
and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I'm all set. But in any event, thank you so much for being here. Enjoy the games, and we'll do this again soon. Maybe during the playoffs. Can you come back during the playoffs, and we'll make game picks?
And especially if we do it. I know this is crazy, but like, as a Lions fan, I like rarely get to talk about playoffs with the Lions.
Oh my god! Yeah, let's do it. Oh my god, we're gonna do that for sure then.
So,
knock on wood. Maybe the Lions make it. Who knows?
I was barely cognizant of like life when they last made a playoff game. So
yeah,
home playoff game rather.
And they got ruined by the,
talk about that. I just need them to go.
By the way, did you watch the Barry documentary?
Not yet. Okay. I'm saving it.
You know how, well, I'm going to give you one spoiler.
I mean, I know the story. Yeah.
He retires. No. But you know how, whenever they show the promo for it and I always call out the Tony Casillas play, they talk about that at great length.
That's hilarious.
Even Barry calls it out. I'm like, yeah. Cynthia thinks I'm a lunatic because every time I'm like, watch this.
Well, you're definitely a lunatic, but not because of that.
Okay.
But, I'm saving it to watch with my dad because, like, that's
fun. All right.
That's kind of our thing. When I was little, he used to take me. There's Meyer. He used to take me to the game, and then we go to Meyer, and then I get a goldfish after.
Of course.
I had like 13 goldfish.
I love it.
Named Barry.
Ha! Love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
Pulling back the curtain. I'll see you in a couple of hours for NFL Fantasy Live. Figure out which day this was recorded on. But in any event, thank you so much for Cynthia. I'm Adam. I'm going to say bear down. You can say restore the roar.
I think Rory and Staley are BFFs secretly behind the scenes.
Secretly. Oh, yeah. They go way back to Decatur and Portsmouth. All right. Sammy, go ahead and play us out. This could go on forever.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy.